With the arrival of the new year, the U.S. military is set for a major buildup of air, ground, and sea forces around Iraq. President Bush, speaking at his Texas ranch yesterday, said the U.S. military presence will remind Saddam Hussein that the United States is ready to lead a coalition effort to disarm his regime if he doesn't do it himself. The ground portion of such an operation would likely be led by U.S. Marines. NPR's Tom Jeldom reports.
Military leaders for months have refused to discuss Iraq war plans publicly, but that's gradually changing. The new idea seems to be that a little more openness about U.S. war preparations could put pressure on Saddam Hussein to cooperate with United Nations weapons inspectors. In the case of the Marines, General James Jones, the Corps Commandant, may also want to highlight the role assigned his service under the Iraq war plan drawn up by the U.S. Central Command.
In the CENTCOM area, we have a presence of Marine Expeditionary Units, and the Marine Corps' piece of any future action, should it come, in Iraq is significant.
Jones says the Corps would commit, in his words, the full preponderance of its Marine Expeditionary Force, about 100,000 strong. The Marine role in Iraq would be substantially greater than it was in the 1991 Gulf War, when Marines were used mainly as a diversionary force. It would also be historically significant. Iraq is largely a landlocked country, and the Marines have traditionally been used in ship-to-shore amphibious assaults. So why feature the Marines in an Iraq operation? Retired Marine Colonel McCubbin Owen says the Marines have strengths well suited to a war in Iraq.
The real advantage that the Marines have is their ability to get places quickly with substantial staying power. They have the capability, they have the firepower, and most importantly, they have the deployability. They can operate from the sea or from the shore, depending on circumstances.
Because the Marines are a relatively light force with little armor to support them, they can move quickly. Defense officials say speed will be important in the early phase of an Iraq operation. Marines also bring what they need with them, set up quickly, and can sustain themselves for a month or more. General Jones says it's this logistics expertise, as much as their speed, that makes the Marines well-suited for a lead role in Iraq.
I believe in the school of thought that says, professionals in planning military operations, the first thing you worry about is logistics. And if you don't do that, you might be in for a rude shock. The Marine Corps teaches that, and we practice that. So when we get into an operation like this, we make sure that we don't outrun the supply lines.
The Marines also had an important role in Afghanistan, where they were the first service to set up a forward operating base. But Jones warns against drawing parallels. The enemy in Afghanistan was the Al-Qaeda network and allied Taliban forces, hardly a traditional army. By contrast, Jones says, Iraq represents a more conventional military challenge, and the U.S. war plan is designed accordingly.
You will have tanks on the ground in Iraq. You will have heavy artillery. This is very much more of a traditional warfight, but using new capabilities that allow us to project forces deeper and farther and to have them secure and capable.
McCubbin Owens, who now teaches strategy and force planning at the Naval War College, says another strength of the Marines is the way they combine air and ground combat capabilities. Whereas Army units may depend on the Air Force to support an operation, Owens points out that a Marine combat task force trains with its own fighter jet element.
You're not just talking about the Marines on the ground, you're also talking about the Marines in the air. It's experience working together that means, I think, that probably Marine air-ground operations go more smoothly than, say, if you're an Army unit and you're getting supported by an air unit or vice versa that you haven't seen before.
As the Commandant since 1999, General Jones has headed the Marine Corps at a time when it had to adapt to the requirements of the war on terrorism. But Jones himself will not be part of a Marine operation in Iraq. In 12 days, he steps down as Commandant to become Supreme Commander of NATO forces. The fact he's soon leaving his position may make it possible for him to speak a bit more candidly. 2 weeks ago, The Washington Post quoted Jones as having said at a private dinner that he was concerned some people around Washington are overly optimistic about how an Iraq war might play out. In an interview with NPR, Jones denied any dispute with senior civilian officials at the Pentagon, but he readily acknowledged his strong feelings about the need to go into the Iraq war prepared for the possibility that things could go wrong.
You look at the best case scenarios, you look at the worst case scenarios. I happen to be a worst case scenario guy simply because I want to have the plans in the bank in case something bad happens.
The bad things for which the U.S. military must prepare include, Jones says, an Iraqi counterattack with biological or chemical weapons. Another would be the possibility that U.S. and allied forces would have to fight their way through downtown Baghdad.
You know, history shows that the armies of the world have always halted on the outskirts of big cities. There's a good reason for that. It is the most intensive type of combat you can go into if you have a determined enemy. And Baghdad's a big city. It's not to say it's impossible, but it's another piece that fits into military planning that you must consider how difficult that could be.
General James Jones knows something about intense combat. He commanded a rifle platoon in Vietnam. But he should also be comfortable in the world of diplomacy, where NATO commanders have to operate. He was raised and schooled in Europe and speaks fluent French. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.